Missy Carluccio, Tim Daugherty, Michael Dressler, Michael Francis, Robert Holtaway, Bruce James, James Mangucci, Carl Richko, Jim Riley, Michael Savitich, Michael Tiefang, James Vizioli, Richard Roden, Robert Walton.
Can you read the open public meeting next?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to government newspapers or circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next is approval of minutes of October 18th. Motion to approve.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Francis?
Yeah.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Savitich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Roden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Next up is approval of the HDC Bank Board minutes of November 27th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Savitich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Next up is the Chair's Report, and this evening I would like to announce that we finally have completed the exemption ordinance, the Model Highlands Area Exemption Ordinance that we've been working on for several months now. I believe council members have it on the dais this evening, and members of the public can pick it up online. This is just the beginning. When I first came on this board, one of my goals was landowner compensation, as probably just about everybody up here is, and trying to make things easier for the property owners to move forward. And while this is probably not the biggest thing out there, certainly a step in the right direction, one that we haven't seen in quite some time. And I think it showed that we can, as a body, work with the NJDEP, which is a pretty high standard itself. So. I look forward to you guys reading it. Feedback, it's gone through just about the ringer 120 times. But we will have this posted, and municipalities can start adopting this. And the time frame for the... the time frame for the classes on this?
We hope, we know it'll be in spring as soon as the weather is consistent, and... we'll be sure that we get people here, that the training will be done here by our staff, and the training program is done, and it will be published within the next week or so. We have a few touches to put on that, and we'll do this with DEP staff on hand because they've been doing these exemptions all along. They'll just be here to answer questions on any of the knottier exemptions so that municipal officials understand the program very thoroughly. So hopefully within, it will happen within a couple of months.
And we'd like to point out this is voluntary to the municipalities. They can continue down the path here they are right now. But it certainly gives the municipalities a little more flexibility in dealing with their residents. That's all I have for this evening. Any council members have any new business? None. Turn it over to Mr. Fyle for the ED report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, on behalf of the Highlands Council staff, I wish you a very happy and prosperous new year. I'm looking forward to a very progressive and accomplished new year for the council based on the decisions and the policies that the council sets for us to attain. Plan conformance continues. This evening we will hear a petition for plan conformance from Randolph Township for both the preservation and the planning area. And I will introduce that in just a couple of minutes. But we also are completing our Highlands ordinances, our checklist, and as the chairman indicated, putting in place the exemption program. We're currently reviewing Roxbury Township's petition for plan conformance, as well as Wanacue Borough. So we're active with petitions for plan conformance and are moving forward with that. Our Highlands Outreach Program, which was something we set a goal for last year, was to attend as many municipal and county meetings and stakeholder meetings and organizational meetings, county or local, as we could. We attended 52 meetings and site visits, three site visits during the past quarter. So we are moving with that. Constituent response, we had 62 calls in the fourth quarter of 2012. And to date, we've had 2,100 calls that have been answered by staff through our system of responding to inquiries from constituents. The Executive Director's Resolution 2012-18, which expanded and gave certain authorities to the Executive Director. I promised when we did that you would have a report of everything we did. That part is part of your packet and is in your packet for review. I have not had a chance to do so as yet. We have a couple of staff updates that we are now well on our way to having a full staff. First, we have asked the chairman to, through the personnel committee, to promote Carl Figueredo as our supervisor of GIS. Our GIS program is recognized by virtually everyone across the state and even nationally as the premier GIS program and premier GIS database, perhaps if not just New Jersey, maybe even in the country. An extraordinary staff, an extraordinary program. All the maps that you see on the walls, all the things you'll see tonight with Randolph are generated in-house by our GIS staff. The other appointment we're looking for your reviewing and agreement on is for Corey Piasecki as a regional planner. He replaces Chris Dennis, who became our director of planning and science. He comes with a wealth of experience from the Regional Plan Association, RPA, as well as the Office of New Jersey Smart Growth. So I think we're well on our way to filling those slots. We also have two interns coming from the Raritan Scholar course, which were asked for by Dan Van Abs. As we recall, he was the Director of Planning and Science a year or so ago. And those interns will be doing specific projects for the Highlands, and they come at no cost to the taxpayers or to the council. So we're enthusiastic about that. As far as other news, I want to congratulate Bruce James, who will move to Freeholder Director of Passaic County. Rich Bowden, who was a Deputy Director for the Sussex County Board of Chosen Freeholders, and is also the Sussex County Representative on the New Jersey Transportation Planning Authority, an agency I have a warm spot in my heart for. So congratulations, as well as Rob Walton, who will continue serving as director of the Hunterdon County Board of Chosen Freeholders. In conclusion, on February 21st, our next meeting, many of you have been asking, the chair has directed us to develop a equity program, a TDR program under other names, transfer development rights. We have a very extensive presentation for you at the meeting of the 21st. We put a lot of time into it, made a lot of visits to a lot of we're hopeful sending areas. I think you will see that this is a program that can work. We're confident it will work, or we wouldn't be putting in the amount of time that we have. And we'll reveal that to you on February 21st, so don't miss that meeting. With that, I will turn it back to Jim, and I'm sure he will ask me to introduce some of the folks from Randolph.
Thank you, Mr. Bob. Not reading my notes, I too wanted to wish everybody a happy new year, not only up here on the board, but in the audience. I know you guys spend a lot of time here with us. We enjoy having your smiling faces here. Well, we look forward to a productive year this year. Hopefully in the best interest of the property owners within the Highlands region. So, next up, we're going to have a slight adjustment and move Randolph up, which is, we have a council meeting, we'd like to move on. Public hearing and consideration of resolution, petition for plan conformance submitted by the Township of Randolph, Morris County.
Mr. Chairman, I need to refute myself on this one.
Can I get a motion on this, please?
I'll move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. At this point in time, we normally open it up to the public. Before doing so, Mr. File, would you be kind enough to introduce the team here from Randolph?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to introduce Mayor Tom MacArthur, the Deputy Mayor Jim Lovies, Council Member Joanne Veach, and Mike Lugdagno, Council Member. Manager John Lovell, would you introduce the rest of the staff who you brought with you tonight?
My honor. Kelly Gallo is our attorney representing Ed Buzak. We also have Bob Michaels, who's been our consulting planner for a number of years, and Darren Carney, who's the planning and zoning administrator of Randolph Township, and has been working very closely. Bob and Darren both work very closely with staff.
Welcome. Did you guys want to have any comments before we open up to the public? Otherwise, we'll move right into the public.
John?
Go
ahead. Okay. Yes, I would like to comment.
Come on up here, Mayor.
Sure.
Let's have a seat. We can get you on tape.
First, I envy your attendance. We don't get this at our council meetings. When we started this process of looking at opting in to the planning area, I'd be the first to say that I think we were viewing it as a refuge from some of the uncertainties of COA. And I think as we've gone through the process, we've realized two things. One, it may or may not be a refuge, and that'll be decided by the courts. And so we've sort of separated those issues. And two, we've started to see benefits to our community of opting into the planning area. Randolph's a pretty much developed township, 22 square miles. It's a big area. And we have three, four areas that need to be carefully developed. And our view is that if it just happens in a haphazard, incremental way, we probably won't achieve as much as if we really do it in a planned way. And that's what we believe the Highlands Council can help us with, that we can look at our growth centers and hopefully stimulate some interest in the business community, offer some more thought-through plans of what they can be, and resist overdevelopment in areas of town that we really don't want it, because we are in an environmentally sensitive area. So that's what we're hoping to achieve with this, and I, for one, am very enthusiastic. Our council voted unanimously in 2012 to move forward with this, and we're optimistic that you can help our township. So I thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah. And yes, Deb?
Yes, for a presentation of the other findings on this petition. I'd like to introduce Mary Jude Haddock-Weiler, who is the principal planner and liaison to Randolph, and Chris Dennis, who is our Director of Planning and Science. And Chris will kick it off and introduce the discussion with Mary Jude. And everything that we are talking about will be documented for you on the screen. So, Chris?
Thanks, Gene. Good evening, council members, and welcome to the first meeting of 2013. And I'd like to just take a few minutes before we get into a presentation that I think is well thought out, as well thought out as what Mayor just presented to you, as the thought that went into Randolph coming to be here tonight. Mary Jude has worked with the town as the principal planner since the beginning when they came in for their petition. This petition represented several site visits to the community where we toured with the individuals from Randolph, their planner and their professional in a very thorough manner and actually visited the sites and the proposed center areas that you'll see tonight. And I think what you heard from Mayor was that our visions align and we can help each other. And that's where we were able to roll up our sleeves and work together. And that's really what this process is. Anyone who comes here tonight has been through a process probably for a couple of years thinking about it and coming here and making this decision. And so I welcome the opportunity to sit here with you tonight and be part of this, and also to turn this over to Mary Jude, and really just want to personally thank Randall.
Great job. Thank you so much. You've been just stellar to work with. Thank you.
So go ahead, Mary Jude. Thanks, Chris. I, too, would like to thank Randall for having worked with them. It really has been a pleasure. Okay, so I appreciate the mayor having really introduced his town, but I'm going to go ahead and do it again. Randolph is located in Morris County. It's a sizable town, 26 square miles. It was incorporated in 1805 from lands that had originally been part of Mendham Township. It's home to 26,000 residents, and it has a rich history. It was originally inhabited by the Lenni Lenape Indians, settled in 1700 by the Quakers, and actually is the site of the first iron mine in New Jersey, which ultimately supplied iron for the Revolutionary War. So much has happened since then, and today the township has a diversity of uses, but with all of that they've accomplished and built in their town, they've also been successful in preserving 24% of their total land area. And they're not done yet. They would like to continue that process. So Randolph, as I think the mayor has already indicated, has prioritized a balanced planning approach for their town. And they've got some wonderful things that they can point to as successes. They've got an award-winning 16-mile trail system that connects 2,000 acres of open space. They've done a lot of comprehensive planning. A couple I note here on the slide is the Route 10 Corridor Study and the Mount Freedom Village Center Report. Both of these have helped inform what they seek to do through plan conformance with the Highlands Council. So the diversity of uses, 26,000 people, retail, office, banquet halls, an array of commercial uses, certain amount of industrial development, a very, very fair amount of open space and recreation, and they have tried very hard to make a positive model of suburban living in their community. So for Randolph Township, plan conformance with Highlands Council at this point is simply a continuation of the good planning that they have already done. This map gives you a sense of their orientation. The township is surrounded by, let's see if I can do this, Chester Township, Roxbury Township, Mine Hill, Dover, Victory Gardens, Rockaway, Denville, Morris Township, and Mendham Township. And shown here, the yellow is the existing community zone according to our land use capability map, and that indicates lands that are already developed. The cross-hatched areas show where the four proposed centers are as part of their petition. I'll get to some more detail on those centers in future slides. And down here in the bottom southwest corner of the township is the preservation area of the community. That numbers 581 acres, which is just 4.3% of the municipality. The majority of Randolph Township is located in the planning area. So that planning area land amounts to 12,961 acres, which is nearly 96% of their community. But as you know, they are petitioning for both the planning area and the preservation area, and they have submitted their draft documents to cover the entire township. And their goal, as you've already been clued into, is to come through plan conformance, achieve center designation of their four proposed centers, and centralized development and redevelopment within those centers. And those centers represent just 4% of the total land area of the community. And they would like to continue to preserve other of their lands. So I'd just like to step back and review what a Highland Center is. The Highlands Council has approved plan conformance petitions for municipalities that included center designations in 10 municipalities, and those have ranged quite broadly. Each of the centers has been tailored to that particular municipality. For example, Phillipsburg, 100%, was considered a center because it makes sense. It's an urbanized area, fully developed. The entire town was going to benefit from redevelopment. Byram Township, on the other hand, a very small center, but it also actually comprised nearly the entirety of the township's planning area land. So we see a big range in between. Actually, as a point of comparison, of all the centers that have been approved, Randolph Township's proposal this evening is actually smaller than all but two of the centers that have been approved, as far as the 4% land area of their township. Not total acres, but percentage of their town. So Highland Center is really where we envision development and redevelopment to happen. It's intended to support the balance, the economic development that needs to continue in the region, balanced with protecting critical natural resources and cultural resources. Again, it's unique, and this planning will be unique to Randolph because it's intended to be community-driven. It's with the local community and the local government working together in collaboration with the Highlands Council, but more us from a hopefully expert standpoint. To assisting, but this is really a community-driven process, and that, we think, is the best way to go. So what really will happen if this petition is approved with these centers, it really will trigger additional planning, a planning process that is designed to identify the specific goals for each center, identify the best uses for those centers, the densities for that specific area, still staying consistent with the regional master plan. So if we identify a center, we're not necessarily talking about a downtown, even though a lot of people think that. It could be anything. It could be talking about making better use of an underutilized area, maybe repurposing an industrial area, or helping bolster some gray field in a retail, or it may just be an area that's in transition. So let me just try to orient again where the centers are. This map shows each of the centers. At the top on the left is the Route 10 Corridor West proposed center. Just below that is the Route 10 Corridor East. To the top right is the South Salem Street Redevelopment Center, and below is the proposed Mount Freedom Highland Village Center. At the bottom on the left, you can see that we've superimposed each of these centers on a map of Randolph to give you a perspective. The green line here is Route 10. And as you can see, three of the proposed centers actually front on Route 10. But the township did not choose to make the whole of the Route 10 corridor a big center. They strategically chose where development and redevelopment would be most appropriate and best as far as they were concerned. And then also we have in the southern part of the township the Mount Freedom Village Center. And this is where the township envisions their downtown. All right, just to give you an orientation of each, this is the South Salem Street and Redevelopment Center. Along the bottom is Route 10, and running up through the middle is South Salem Street, where it intersects with Dover. Nearly this entire area is developed. The intention is redevelopment in this area. We have an existing shopping center here, which has a Staples and a Kmart, and it just opened LA Fitness. We've got some old industrial areas here, some existing neighborhoods. This is market rate housing, and we've also got some affordable housing. The township envisions, of course, that this will be redevelopment, and they're expecting that this is going to provide opportunities for expansion of their existing economic base through the redevelopment and additional business improvements. And one point, down here, this dark building is an old industrial area that's actually owned by the township and is being converted by Habitat for Humanity to affordable housing. And this area is currently served by sewer. This just gives you a sense of what you'll find there. The building on the right is the old Dusenberry complex, which is only very partially occupied. You also have some of the existing housing. This is the shopping center I just mentioned. The goal for this area as redevelopment is to facilitate that redevelopment in a very thoughtful way improve walkability and connectivity to the existing neighborhoods and the homes that are going to be built, and emphasize sustainable development. And that's sustainable development both from an economic standpoint, but also a low-impact development standpoint to protect resources as well. This is the Route 10 corridor East Center. Again, Route 10 running through the middle here. On the right-hand side, just off the slide, is the area of South Salem Street that I just discussed. This road here, if you know the area, is Center Grove Road. This is an area of about 135 acres. And this is intended to be an activity center that supports the residential development that's off the highway. The township would like to minimize strip-style development in favor of linkages to the neighborhoods back here, 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 and here. Bring walkability and connectivity from residential neighborhoods into the commercial area and improve the overall quality of life there. There is one place I want to point out. This area that is currently undeveloped is known as the Greco property. It has approvals in place for a mixed-use development area. As far as sewers are concerned, there is much of the north side of Route 10 is sewered. Only a few parcels on the south are currently served by sewer. This is the Route 10 corridor west. This is an area that's just under 68 acres. This is the smallest of the proposed centers. Again, Route 10 along here. And this is Dover-Chester Road, which some of you may have used to come to this meeting tonight. This area has got a mix. We've got some undeveloped parcels mixed in with some large-scale development. Up here is the CVS and the doctor's office, church. This is a commercial establishment, and it's hard to see these, but these lots were originally developed as single-family homes. It's not really the place you want to live anymore. These have all been converted to businesses. So as I mentioned, this is an area in transition. These two larger undeveloped parcels that are wooded areas, our science staff has been out there to take a look. And they saw that they are heavily invaded with non-native species, not providing particularly good habitat. And we feel that this is an opportunity to improve some habitat at the same time allowing the cohesive kind of development mix that the township envisions. Here again is a sense of what you'll find there. You see a couple of what had been previously single-family homes converted to commercial. On the top left is an old schoolhouse that's been converted to office. And as I mentioned, one of the studies that the township had done is a Route 10 corridor study. And they acknowledge the very important role that the Route 10 major state highway plays in their future. It forms a gateway into the township both on the east and the west side of the town, and it provides an array of services to their community. Now, you know, all kinds of commercial operations, places to work, and shop. So much of Route 10, because of the previous development, is in transition. And the town would like to take this opportunity to focus that development, redevelopment, and establish nodes of development and provide that connection to the existing residential neighborhoods. Now, the final center is the Mount Freedom Village Center. This one's a little harder to see. This is Sussex Turnpike that runs through the middle. Coming in here is Hanover Avenue, if you're familiar with that area, and this is Millbrook Avenue. Again, this was the subject of a study, the Mount Freedom Village Center report, which informed what the township would like to accomplish here. They envision a traditional village center with streetscape improvements, development on both sides of Sussex Turnpike, and actually NJDOT has approved improvements to Sussex Turnpike. And there are plans to straighten this. As I said, this is Hanover Avenue, and jogged over here is Brookside Road. This is scheduled to be straightened out, so Hanover will come in and meet Brookside at a normal intersection. And at this point, this parcel here is known as a Zion Tract. That has development approvals already in place. Additionally, down here is known as Kensington Square. That's on Brookside Road. That also has development approvals already in place. Sewer service area our sewer service is limited in this area of the township, but a dry sewer line was put in down Sussex Turnpike this past summer, and the township does anticipate sewer connections. And again, just a sense of what you'll see if you go out there. On the right-hand side over here, this is actually the Kensington Square property, and you can just make out a piece of a remnant of a bungalow. What had happened here is this is a summer bungalow community. The whole of Mount Freedom actually was a little bit of the Borscht Belt, where families would come in the 30s and 40s and they'd spend their summers here. Some of those bungalows have been converted to full-year housing. Some have been basically abandoned. This particular parcel had a number of bungalows, but I believe that the one that's shown here is the only one that's left. The rest, it's primarily just the foundations that are left. So again, this is another opportunity for redevelopment. There's a couple of undeveloped or underdeveloped parcels that are slated for development under this center proposal. And again, trying to improve walkability from existing neighborhoods, from new neighborhoods, and developing a cohesive mixed-use plan. And wanted to highlight again the open space that the township has been successful in creating, and also to note that 24% is already preserved, looking to preserve more, making more connections, and the proposal before you for their plan conformance and their centers comprises just 4% of the land area. They are trying to balance all of their needs, those for open space and recreation, but also the needs for their community for places to live, shop, work, and sustainable economic development for their community. So the petition was posted on our website December 14th of last year, and we took comments beginning then until January 4th of this year. We received four sets of comments from the New Jersey Farm Bureau, Visgare Hoff, which represents one of the property owners, New Jersey Conservation Foundation, and the Highlands Coalition. Staff prepared a comment response document that was posted to our website on January 14th. So what staff would like to recommend is approval of this petition with conditions that the township will complete their environmental resource inventory, their master plan element, and their land use ordinances, and that they will develop in collaboration with Highlands Council a water use and conservation management plan, a habitat conservation management plan, a stream corridor protection and restoration plan, a sustainable economic development plan, a Highland Center planning, a green building, environmental sustainability, and alternative energy plan, and also they would like to do a TDR feasibility study to look at the potential for TDR in one or more of the proposed centers. So I'd like to turn it back.
Thank you. Board members, any questions?
Did I understand you correctly that they're entertaining the thought of making it a receiving area?
Yes. Yes, they would like to look at the feasibility of whether or not that could fit in one or more of their centers.
Yes.
You just mentioned streams, but I didn't see streams. I couldn't see streams on the map. Are there streams on the municipality?
Yes, there are. They didn't show up on the center's maps, but yes, there are. There's the Millbrook.
Tributary to what river?
I believe to the Raritan.
And one goes to the Rockaway through the Den Brook is this Rockaway.
Okay.
There's a third area, and that's the Liberty Basin. We actually call it three basins.
So one goes to the Rockaway, you say? Could you go back to that large map and just say indicate approximately where the streams are?
Let me see if I can do that. I'm not sure if I'm going to find them.
Are they that tiny if they still show up? Is that it?
Well, it's a large township.
We have the Lake Community up there, but we didn't
put
the streams
see.
On.
Right. I guess the Whippany would be to the east. The south branch of the Raritan would be, I believe, to the south, and then, thank you. And then the Rockaway River actually runs above. It runs through Rockaway, Dover, and the areas to the north of that map.
I would recommend on future maps like this, highlight one that has the surface waters.
Okay.
And and just the surface waters, and we can see where they're located and what kinds of development is on either side of the stream, and where they, and where what rivers they go to.
Okay.
Because part of our major mission here is to protect surface water, groundwater.
In relation to the town centers?
Say again?
In relation to the town centers?
Yes.
Okay, certainly.
Just one question, Mr. Chairman, if I might. On the Route 10 East development area, where the new store is, what's the name of it?
Oh, where the new store that just opened, or the Greco?
Where Transistor Devices used to be.
Oh, yes, the Habitat Restore.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually in the South Salem Street.
on that particular parcel, is that all kind of wetlands in there?
There are wetlands there, yes.
Where does that water come from?
The wetlands there?
Probably don't.
That's exactly right. That's the point of my question. I believe that's right off from part of Randolph, comes down through, it goes underneath Salem Street, and it filters around down through, and some of it goes to the south into that wetland area.
Okay.
And some of it goes into the Rockaway River.
I hear what you're saying. Oh, yeah, that's right. Actually, the Rockaway River does show up here. It actually is the border here.
That's right.
Between Randolph and Rockaway. See, I didn't realize that we had one that showed it. So that red line, although it's meant to be a town boundary, also is the line along the Rockaway River.
That's correct. Okay. And that's going to stay wet, I think.
It will. Yeah, keep in mind that any of the regulations that are currently in place, like wetlands by the DEP, stay in place regardless of what we do.
Any other board members? Yes, sir.
Question for the staff. We received the application online. I went through it, and it was something that I flagged, and I can't find it on, you know, what we have here in the packet, but it was a 2009 build-out report that questioned the availability of water. I know I saw that. I wrote it down. Can't find it in the report.
The build-out report from that we did as part of their modules, yes, and the whole Morris County would be in a deficit area. Anybody in Morris County that is served by the Morris County MUA, due to the nature of the relationship between the water supply wells and any development that occurs due to the interbasin transfer to either RVRSA or Butterworth, indicates that they're all in a deficit area. And what we're doing to address that is actually through the Water Use and Conservation Management Plan. And it's very difficult for Randolph to actually address its deficit condition on its own. The best way to do their net water availability is to put water conservation in place and deal with the supply side management that they control, such as any metering devices or infiltration and inflow reduction and maintenance of the systems, because they don't control the source wells. Morris County MUA does, and they don't control the ability to discharge sewer as it's controlled by either RVRSA or Butterworth. So the interbasin hub transfer net water availability condition for Randolph is typical of anybody who's in Morris County MUA entity that gets their water. And one of the things that we're doing is making sure that immediately the model ordinances that we're doing for water conservation get in place and that they get adopted by the town, because it's the best way to assist a town as Randolph, who's in a regional water deficit condition that they're not able to control beyond, you know, locally, to put water conservation in place and assist them with that supply side management. So there would be a water deficit in place for Randolph, as there is with any town in Morris County. All of the build-out reports for anybody who was served by MCMUA found them to be in deficit.
Another question. TDR, I see that number 5 on the total reimbursement anticipated grant dollars, there's $20,000 being dedicated to TDR. Certainly this seems like a municipality with its mixed uses, with its desire to have 4 centers, with its open space areas, it's a transition municipality to some extent, where the western part of the town still has broader areas open. We need to get something going to prove that TDR is going to work. And I know that when we first started farmland preservation in Morris County 3 decades ago now, No one trusted him. No one would do it. And then finally, the Kupo farm in Washington Township, finally somebody did it. And it was a smaller farm than everybody envisioned, and it wasn't quite the acreage, and probably paid a little bit too much money per acre. But it broke open the floodgates, and once everybody saw the program work and function, then there were a lot of applications back in the 80s. And I really feel that's where we are with TDR. We can't mandate it, we can't force it, we can only encourage it. But we've got to get a workable TDR someplace. Now, this seems like a good someplace. Is there anything we can do to encourage them financially even to have a someplace? That was my question number one. And question number two, within the framework of our TDR bank, if the municipality chose to have an intra-municipal TDR, would it still feed through our bank and we would just have a separate account for TDR credits that are exchanged within the municipality so that if, for instance, it was deemed that a couple of those town centers were designated as receiving areas by the town and some people then put some money in to buy some credits, would we have a separate account? Do we have the ability to set up a separate account within the framework of our TDR bank?
I'm not sure if the question is directed at the right person. It probably should be directed over there. But right before you came in, Mr. File did note that our February present, Jane might want to fill in that.
We've dedicated the February meeting to strictly talk about TDR. I think we've made a lot of progress. We've got a presentation I think you'll find exciting, we hope. And Marta will be leading that effort. We've actually met with some towns that might be accepting TDRs. $20,000 is really just seed money to determine feasibility. We recognize that will do very little to make a TDR program work, but we're putting our toe in the water to see if it's feasible in Randolph or any other town. But we're looking at we can do intermunicipal TDRs. We are looking at the shape of the bank right now and how that will interface with TDRs, with market-based TDRs, with money in the bank and redistributing it to receiving districts. There's a whole bunch of parts that we're looking at, and we're going to have a full presentation for you in February. It is high on our list. The bank and how that functions is very high on our list. It's really going to be the effort of most of Margaret's time in the next 30 days. And we commit to you that it's coming, and we think it's workable and feasible. And you're right. We need a couple of doors cracked and a few of them that we can show as successful models. We think we're close.
Well, it's the only tool we have still. You know, with all the talk about compensation 8 years in, and we still have nothing to show for compensation. And it's the one tool we have. And yet I think it's a tool that towns can use that will benefit redevelopment opportunities and center development opportunities and at the same time preserve areas either within a town or within the region. And I just think we need to get it started.
Kurt, your comments, Member Walton, Judge Dressler's comments on the same issue have not gone unheard. We heard you loud and clear, and we're on the case.
I think it's a very important step, and I think this is the right direction. Because what I've seen in these applications, I think, is money being spent poorly. Every application that comes before us now has $20,000 of seed money to look into the possibility of TDR. And the only reason they're doing that, I believe, is because they want to get their application through because of the way this board reacts to them. So I think I think the approach we're going to take, and hopefully is very positive in next month's presentation, is really where we need to go for this very reason you stated. It's the one tool we have.
Can I just address that for a second? Because, you know, we've been working on that very hard. I think, Kurt, you're absolutely right. We need one good project area to jumpstart everything. But we're also looking at the way we handle the TDR grants. And, you know, you just can't send money out into the world and hope for the best. So with the towns that we're working with now, we've told them that we really want to sit down with them and monitor the process as they go through with the TDR grant. We want to sit down with them and make sure that they have that they come up with products at the end of the process that we can use to take them to the next step. So it's going to be a far more hands-on process with the towns than it has been in the past. And I really think that, you know, I think we can make it work. I mean, we're really Also going in a somewhat different direction that's been tried before, and that is to try to put together a financial package for the towns that makes it attractive for them, because they're not going to just do it for the, you know, the wonderfulness of TDRs. I mean, it has to make sense to them as a fiscal project as well. We've reached out to just about every state partner that can come to the table we can think of. I'm sorry, I'm giving you like the whole, this is like a preview of next month. Office of Planning and Advocacy, Environmental Infrastructure Trust, HMFA, where else have we been? We've been all over the state.
NJEIT.
Right. And they are all willing to come together maybe to put something on the table that would really make it something a town would get excited about doing. So that's where we are. It's really, it's tremendously exciting. And you're right, this is the only thing we have right now. You know, we absolutely have to find a way to make it work.
And the previous amount that we had dedicated in grant was $40,000, right?
$25,000 was the feasibility. We're now working with $40,000. The difference here is that a lot of the work that we have in a TDR feasibility study with a town that's not coming through plan conformance, those dollars for center planning and infrastructure analysis, we're funding through our other mechanisms. So if you're working with a town that's on the outside of the region that's not doing plan conformance, they need to be handled differently than a town that's coming through plan conformance looking at TDR. Because a lot of the work that they're going to do as part of that is done as part of the overall plan conformance grant. And if you're not working with us, it's a different lens. We have to help you out more. We have to get you that more infrastructure and more support.
Thank you.
Any other board members?
One more question. Could you go back to that picture where you have the West Highland Center?
The Chairman, this is Tracy Carluccio. I am on the phone.
Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
I first of all, I want to apologize. I got held up in an assembly hearing in Trenton. I get on the road, but I got scared in a big accident on 206 just south of Chester. I am coming into the meeting. I just pulled into the parking lot, but I couldn't quite hear. Are you finishing comments now on this, or
yes,
are you still open for comments?
We're still open for comments. Mr. Savitich has the floor.
Okay, well, if Mr. Savitich wants to go first, I'll be coming inside and I can speak in person.
That's good. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Talk slowly.
You don't have to talk slowly.
I see that of the four proposed areas, this is the one that seems to be most undeveloped.
That's correct.
And I see on either side of this highway, it's wooded. Is that natural open wooded field space, or what is that?
Well, you can see on the bottom side, there's a power line that goes through there, so it's undeveloped. I think you can also see that there are some wetlands there.
Where are the wetlands?
Well, it appears that, I mean, I don't have it mapped, but it appears that there are some indentations in there, and I think that there's some low-lying areas adjacent to that power line.
So, I take it your plan is to just change all this to development. You're going to eliminate the plants and develop the area.
It's already
in a development area.
Right. The idea is the township would like to look at this in total as a parcel. It's a little less than 68 acres, recognizing that a lot of it is disturbed. I mean, it's wooded. It is wooded, but our science staff have been out there, and they said that it's heavily invaded with non-native species, and it's not providing particularly good habitat. So we felt that there was an opportunity to develop closer to the highway and look for opportunities to provide connectivity to the area that's not developed and isn't intended to be developed, so that you would actually get a net positive for habitat than what you currently have there. It appears to be natural, but it's disturbed. In the sense that it's heavily invaded with the non-native species and not providing habitat.
It's hard to tell that from these particular photographs.
No, I know.
It looks wooded and
exactly, and it is somewhat deceiving.
The natural ecosystem.
Right. And the idea is to try to make a net gain to improve habitat, but also to accommodate what
and
the township.
And habitat where?
Well, partially on the land here, not all of it, but also to make connections with the other lands that are not intended to be developed and provide things like wildlife corridors and that sort of thing to provide some net gain.
We did visit that site, so we went out, our resource biologist specialist Kara Denskoder and Mary Jude and the town, we actually went out and looked at it to see what it was and photos of it.
And they made a report.
Yeah.
Written report and the photo report.
They supported in the document that you see for the draft consistency review report for this, their information was put in it. That was posted with the posting for the petition. And also, they also responded to comments that were similar to that.
And I would also like to point out that with any center designation, this is the beginning, really the beginning of the planning. We're going to look more carefully about what we have and what are the best ways to deal with the opportunities and the constraints and the resources. So it's not, we're not approving a development here. We're actually just outlining an area that we want to look at more carefully, knowing what the township's goals are, and trying to move forward from there.
Thank you. Just one question, if I may. Did we receive any input from New Jersey Transit at all?
We did not. Not on this petition.
Yeah, right.
We often receive comments after the public hearing from DOT supporting the petition, but we typically don't get them in advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't get the
typical.
Okay,
thanks.
Ms. Colicchio?
Yes, thank you. Again, I apologize. I wanted to follow up on a couple things. Some issues have already been raised that I have made in my notes, but one of the concerns I have is that this is a water deficit area, and of course we did a lot of analysis in order to identify these areas. And I appreciate your comments about supply side types of measures, but we also can control the demand side by not putting in place demands for more water. So my concern here is that we have four centers in an area that was really developed willy-nilly over the years for reasons that addressed what the community wanted at that time. And in many instances, as we've heard here tonight, those needs have changed, such as, you know, vacation homes, or, you know, second homes, the hotel complexes and that sort of thing. Many of them have been repurposed. And, you know, the whole vision of the regional master plan is to rethink how the old development patterns have been developed and how we can conserve our resources as well as have people live here and have a healthy economy. And what we're doing here instead of rethinking is we're just layering on more of the same sorts of development in the development corridors. And I don't see urban parks. I don't see any effort at restoration of degraded natural resources. We're really just talking about continuing the development of this area. And to even think about it, transferring development rights into a small, geographically small centers, to me, is folly, because we have a water deficit problem. We have a forested area where we're going to be cutting down a lot of trees to develop this new development, and we're going to be continuing patterns of development which really have been sort of at the root of the problem of why we needed the Highlands Act and a regional master plan. So I don't see any vision here. I see a continuation of poorly thought out development patterns. I don't think we should endorse this, and I think we need to address what's missing here instead of just, you know, going ahead with what was already planned before the Highlands Act came along and before the regional master plan was developed.
Thank you, Ms. Berlingio. Any other board members?
I totally kind of disagree with what Councilman Tracy just put forward. I'm of the opinion it's a strong candidate. Further, I think it's all part of smart growth, and I think we would be remiss in not moving forward with this.
I agree. The blanket statement of the Highlands Act was needed to, because local government couldn't handle it, I think is an incorrect statement to make. I know Randolph has a neighbor of Roxbury Township, and the work they have done and we have done to probably get in front of those issues years ago doesn't mean that we did anything willy-nilly along the way. So I disagree, and I certainly support Randolph's application.
So I'd just like to say, I don't think that it's all the municipality's fault. The willy-nilly is also related to the lack of adequate state planning, lack of vision in the development of a state planning process, as well as the problem at the municipal level. And that was the need that led us to the Highlands Act. I'm sorry if I'm wrong.
Any other board members?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'd like to comment on that wooded property there. I did gain a little experience on it, the property, but probably six or seven times as large. And just because it's wooded doesn't mean it shouldn't be managed. And I think the issue with that property is that it needs a little forced management to get the invasive species out and get the natural species back to bring it back into its natural state. So I can appreciate that. And my point is, good planning doesn't mean you're going to put a bunch of houses there. Good planning means you manage the wetlands, you manage the invasive species, and you get the native species back to make that a more desirable piece of property to live with. The planning isn't just houses and businesses and sewers and water. Planning is also the woods. And if the woods are not managed correctly, you lose.
Great, thank you, Ms. Francis.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
There's some discussion in the document and also in response to some comments from a developer about the water and sewer capacity and whether or not certain projects would go ahead. And I'm just wondering, you know, several times many of us, or some of us on the council, have brought up the issue of putting the cart before the horse, and we really need to do a water and sewer capacity analysis for those these specific centers before we start pumping money into them. And my question is, what is the timing on the water and sewer analysis? Because I think it's misleading to the township and to those businesses that might want to, you know, start thinking about locating there if we go down this path of developing centers and then, lo and behold, there's no water and sewer. I heard a comment of a dry sewer line. Where's the capacity? I don't know what particular sewer plant that would go to, this is the kind of analysis that needs to be done up front before we pump money into and, you know, community planning into developing an area that is a water deficit area and that, as far as I know, is short on sewage capacity.
Well, the township actually has been working on this. The area that I mentioned had a dry sewer line is the Mount Freedom area. And the majority of this proposed center actually would go to the Butterworth plant, which does have capacity.
Thank you.
Any other board members?
Yes.
Go ahead. Mr. Freeholder.
I'm going to be last.
You have seniority.
I'll go last.
Okay.
Just quickly, agriculture. I noted that because there were not agricultural resource areas, there's not a component for agriculture being included in the petition. If I'm not mistaken, there's at least three permanently preserved farms in Randolph Township, which means then that they have to have a right to farm ordinance because Morris County monies that were incorporated with the state monies. Shouldn't there be something then in the petition, given the fact that there are permanently preserved farms?
I believe actually, I think that there is something in the consistency review report that does require the town to have a right to farm ordinance.
But I could only find on page 11, H, where it said that everything was optional. At its discretion, the township may incorporate the appropriate language. But perhaps we want to consider if there are permanently preserved farms, there's already requirements that are in place then that probably should be consistent with what we're seeking, or we should be consistent with what has to be in place already if there are permanently preserved farms.
Right, and yes, I'm aware of those, the permanently preserved farms.
The right to farm ordinance and an implementation plan and schedule is listed, and
okay.
It's checked.
What page is that?
That's the implementation plan and schedule. This sort of gives the overview of the dollars and all the tasks, and that's on page 3 of this. I think that's okay.
I don't think we have that. Do we have that?
Yeah. I'm not sure if yours would be. It's a smaller size. I may be big.
Yeah.
I can give you the line item number to help. It would be 11F.
Okay. then do we include anything else, or do we just say the Rice Farm ordinance is enough and end of the story? I recognize that there's not a ton of farm land in Randolph Township. They preserved probably the key operations in the town. There's probably a couple pockets of farmland still, but what is our standard operating procedure in these instances?
Typically, in municipalities that have limited agricultural resources, we choose to, as their master plan element, actually either combine the land preservation and land stewardship to recognize the agricultural resources in the community, or we can put it as part of the conservation element, rather than paying for and adding an additional agricultural sustainability element for that community. It's normally where there's strong ag, that element stands alone and is highlighted and prioritized. And we recognize in limited communities to do that as part of another funded plan element and recognize it.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Bowden, then we'll go to the public.
Just comments, no questions. 9 years ago, when the legislature was considering the Highlands Act, our senators had the knowledge and the understanding that the property owners in the Highlands region would be compensated for the lost value in their land. Section 6 of the Act states that the council, us, shall have the following powers, duties, and responsibilities: to identify and designate special areas in which development shall not occur, while recognizing the need to provide just compensation to the owners of those lands when appropriate, whether through acquisition, transfer development right programs, or other means or strategies. Back in March 30th, 2004, at a public hearing at Ringwood State Park, I was there that night. I sat the second row. Senator Bob Smith, the primary sponsor of the Highlands Bill, said, quote, "If there was one lesson tonight, it was the voice in the background from Tom Cruise. Show me the money." And Chairman McEwen and I pledge to you that we will show you the money. We're currently working with the governor's office to put together the dedicated and guaranteed source of funding so that the Highlands, which are making a sacrifice for the rest of the state, are properly compensated. We will show you the money. Quote. Our state senators knew that. They voted on June 10th. They voted the act in and voted 34-2 in favor of passing the act. I think they would have voted differently had they known that 9 years later, there would be no means, no programs, no policies, no procedures or strategies for payment of just compensation. I think they would have voted differently had they known that 9 years later there would be an incomplete and underfunded transfer of development rights program. I got to congratulate you on what you're doing, because we need that. I think they would have voted differently had they known that a licensed land appraiser would estimate that the loss in development in the Highlands was $80 billion, and that the loss in land value in a preservation area would be $20 billion, with no means for compensation. We're considering a resolution here to approve Randolph's petition for plan conformance. About 4%, you stated, of Randolph is in the preservation area where the Act recognizes the need to provide just compensation. We don't have that. 96% of Randolph is in the planning area, where approval of this resolution here tonight, and I quote from the Act, Section 6.0, will subject these lands to the restrictions imposed pursuant to this Act as to require a guarantee of just compensation from the Act. Unlike the senators who voted for the Act, we know that there is no means of compensation, that there is no way with the transfer of development that the people that are harmed in the 96% of Randolph can expect to be compensated. So I, in good conscience, can't vote yes for this application. I'll be voting no on the resolution.
At this point in time, I'd like to open it up to the public, reminding the public that it is to limit your comments to 3 minutes, please. Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm
sorry. She saw you coming, Dave.
Thank you. I have a brief comment, and it's based on some of the comments that, I'm Dave Pfeiffer, I'm the Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commission. On this particular proposal, my comment's based on some of the questions that were raised by Mr. Sebetich about resource presence or absence on the center lands. One of the things I think you could do is to change your consistency review function on your GIS system so that you could include multiple parcels. And when that capability was in hand, it would be easy for staff to print out a report on all of the Highlands resources that are present on any combination of parcels throughout the Highlands. It would be well, I think, for the council to see the Highlands resources that are present, particularly within proposed designated centers. You have the tool this close, and it would be very easy to do that.
So I'll defer to our executive director. Maybe you could look into it.
We'll discuss that with the staff.
We see a need for that multiple lot analysis in many other cases, open space acquisitions, for example. And I think that would help the council get a clearer picture of what's going on within potential center designations in particular. It could also be used to look at redevelopment areas that you would designate as well. So I think that would be a helpful addition and might address some of the concerns in advance of an approval hearing that other council members might have. Other than that, I have no further comments on this application.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to comment on this application only? Raise your hand. Yes, sir.
No, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Council, Richard Hoff, the law firm of Biscayer Hoff, here on behalf of Westminster Realty Corp. And Randolph Building Associates. We had previously submitted a comment and has been answered in the final document, but I did have some clarifications. We are slated to be included in the Mount Freedom Center, but in reviewing the documents, and again, I apologize if it's in here, there are no criteria for what is a permitted use or what standards will exist in that center. Is that a process that happens at some point after tonight? Presuming that the council were to approve the petition, is there then a separate process to develop the land standards that will be applicable to our property?
Yes.
And is there a separate public meeting where we'll have the opportunity to comment on that? Because right now we have an existing approval, which is fine. But as a landowner, you're always concerned about what the shifting regulations might be. And right now, I don't know what they might be. So I'm just trying to
get... Yes, is the answer. This all goes to the planning function now.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was saying, yes, and then actually the plan that's going to go forward is actually at the local level, and they have public comment, obviously.
There's no zoning ordinance overlaying those centers at this point.
Okay.
And that is developed at the local level after the planning is done to determine how that should look and what the best shape of that development is.
And does the checklist ordinance get potentially adopted before that process is completed?
No.
Okay.
Not.
So there can't be, because obviously there'd be nothing to review.
We're looking at what we would normally call zoning.
Okay. So this is a green light for another step?
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir. And I mean you this time.
My name is David Chope, and after listening to the extensive planning that the township intends to continue with, I see no reason for them to opt in. There has to be something that's not being said here. One of the things that the township will be opting into, and they may not have considered, is a legislative mandated drought. The rainfall that will percolate into the ground will be reduced by about 25% by virtue of the act, not by virtue of Mother Nature. This is the reason for the water deficit area. The water deficit area is a fraud. Restore the normal rainfall that falls from the sky, unfiltered by the legislature, and you will see that the drought disappears. I see nothing in this presentation that offers any compensation or consideration for the landowners, the 96% of the landowners who I don't know what the fraction is of that have owned undeveloped land, but there's nothing in there for them. The TDR program, as you know, devalues the appraised value by 75% at a minimum. Is this what you would intend to offer the owners of this land? This state has for the past several decades has made a it's the life's work to make some people rich and some people poor. And this is another example of it. If you have land in the town center designations, you're one lucky fellow. If you're of the 96% that is not, you're destined to suffer a severe devaluation in your property values. Mr. Bowden spoke to it earlier. This has been addressed by appraisals. It exists. So I'm against this application, because it offers nothing to the landowners that are not in the designated township centers. Thank you.
Mr. Schoen. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Jerry Kern, Powhatan Township. First, like to say Happy New Year to everybody, and thank Mr. Bowden for a wonderful statement. I appreciate the council's earlier comments, the chairman, as far as the TDR program. Unfortunately, I don't have that much belief in it. Even if you get all the towns to opt into this thing, you leave out one important step. People that come to these areas that are going to have to buy these TDRs is going to be an added expense. And in our state, expense is a common day word here. Everything seems to go up. The people that are going to go there to develop, when they find out they now need to buy these TDRs, whatever cost, it's an added cost. What's to keep them from going across the road where they don't have to buy that TDR? Nothing. This economically, this Highlands has been ruining New Jersey for 8 years. Other parts of the country are, I believe...
Mr. Kern, this is probably more appropriate for the general public.
Right. I know. I also agree with Mr. Shope that I would hope the council deny this application. I think if Randolph, if the council and their members care about compensation for these people that they are going to be taking things from, there should be some language like Powhatan did when they considered opting in. There's language added in there that they will opt out if the people in their preservation area are not compensated in a meaningful way soon. It's been over 8 years. When did it end? We just keep kicking it down the road.
We're trying not to kick it down the road.
Thank you.
I understand your concerns. Thank you, Mr. Kern. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Good evening. Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. We did send in comments. I would like to thank the staff for providing the map that shows all the centers on the same map, because that is rather helpful. I think that, Mr. Piper just alluded, it would also be very helpful if the centers themselves had resource maps associated with them so that you wouldn't have to keep changing between the center map and the big map to try to figure out what is going on. I mean, it's possible you can do it, and I did it, and you can see by the lot lines. It's not that hard, but it just takes a lot longer that way. I think what we really do need to consider, though, is that Randolph, it has these water deficits. And when you look at the actual development that is taking place, three of the centers appear on the ground. I mean, not in terms necessarily of the amount of water that they would use, but at least the land has already been developed. It doesn't have, you know, like habitat values in particular. There's probably a fair amount of impervious cover. Those three centers, not the Route 10 West, but the three others, should be studied very carefully to see whether they are actually sustainable in terms of water and sewer. And I think that it would be valid to study those, and it would not be a waste of money. But the Route 10 West Center, I think that is a waste of money because it is clear that if you basically turn much of that into impervious cover, you have destroyed the resource values that are there. The staff has mentioned that there are invasive species, but that was not the primary resource value of that forest. The value of that forest was as prime water recharge area on your maps and wellhead protection area. And forests are what provide that the best. And I think it doesn't make an incredible amount of difference whether the forest is the highest quality forest or whether there are some invasive species in it. The ground permeates. The water percolates into the ground because it is not covered with asphalt. To turn that or much of it into an area that is covered with impervious cover, which a center would suggest is an objective, just does not make sense in the context of Randolph's water situation. So I think that focusing on habitat would be nice to improve the habitat, yes, but if you remove three-quarters of the forest, you know, you may have habitat for some nice little chipmunks in what you have left over, but you have really destroyed the water resource component of that, which is the really important part of that parcel. And I just think it doesn't make a lot of sense to study that area as a center.
Thank you, Ms. Fry.
Thank you.
Good evening. Erica Van Alken, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I'd like to echo Wilma Fry's comments and continue by saying that the Highlands Coalition is reluctant to support Randolph's petition for plan conformance as presented. The Coalition does not see how incorporating four center designations into one township with limited remaining resources constitutes a smart planning. In general, we support centers in the Highlands. We've long considered it the most effective way to guide development opportunities while addressing each municipality's needs and character. Having said that, there is no reasonable way we should be expected to support four centers in one town. Clearly, this type of planning is sprawl. We maintain that it is inappropriate to consider four centers for one township. For one thing, it does not appear that Randolph has the necessary resources to support the development of four centers. And even if it did, where does that leave its neighboring municipalities? Will the development of Randolph's four centers deplete the resources for the surrounding communities? The council must consider these kinds of questions in order to implement successful regional planning. Further, the coalition has maintained that center designation requests should have as much, if not more, focus on preserving vacant parcels. Concentrated development is a smart approach to continue sprawl, but an equal effort must be made to preserve any remaining undeveloped parcels. Randolph may not be the best example of this, since much of the township has existing sprawl development, but other municipalities, such as Byram, serve a fine example. Center plans must have a two-pronged approach: control development within the center's borders and also protect the remaining resources by preserving vacant parcels outside of the center. The council has been given the responsibility of balancing the protection of critical environmental resources in the Highlands with smart growth of this region. The regional master plan has provided the tools needed to balance these two main goals, and yet we watch as the council uses these tools to sidestep the intents and purposes of the Highlands Act by designating inappropriate centers. We will support appropriate center designations in the Highlands, but we will not support proposals that encourage more sprawling development. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Van Hoppen. Anybody else in public? Yes, sir.
Hi, Elliot Ruga, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. And as my colleague Erica Van Alken mentioned, we support the petition, this petition for Randolph Township, but we do have some reservations about the four centers. And it's not really the quantity of centers, it sounds a little astounding, but if good planning goes into it, it could be very, very appropriate. And that, what Tracy said earlier, I'd like to support that, because she brought up the question is, why is the council here? What had we not been doing that required an intervention, the Highlands Act and a Highlands Council? And if you don't mind, I can read two short passages from the opening findings of the Highlands Act. And it reminds us. It says that the New Jersey Highlands, because of its proximity to rapidly expanding suburban areas, is at serious risk of being fragmented and consumed by unplanned development, and that the existing land use and environmental regulation system cannot protect the water and natural resources of the New Jersey Highlands against the environmental impacts of sprawl development. And further, the Highlands, because of its vital link to the future of the state's drinking water supplies and other key natural resources, is an issue of state-level importance that cannot be left to the uncoordinated land use decision of 88 municipalities, 7 counties, and a myriad of private interests, that the state should take action to delineate the New Jersey Highlands. So every once in a while, perhaps, we need a reminder. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. Helen Heinrich, representing New Jersey Farm Bureau. First of all, I'd like to thank Randolph and the staff for getting a grant going on TDR. As everybody has said, we still don't have really strong mechanisms to get the compensation that, as Mr. Bowden pointed out, people were led to believe that they would see down the road. 9 years later, we don't see it. So I'm very glad to see the grant, and I'm also glad to see that it's a high top priority item, and I'm so glad to hear it's going to be expanded upon in February. And secondly, I think Randolph could be an example of what was in mind when people created the planning area, which was an area that, sure, it had some of the same resources as the preservation area, but it's supposed to be a place where planning can be done in being sensitive to those resources. And this center process, I think everybody thinks is a done deal as of today. It's really just the beginning, and every single person here and back here has plenty of opportunities to participate and point out what they think is wrong with what Randolph is doing in that process. So I think you should get it started, and let's hope that they can continue the good planning that they've done to this point.
Thank you, Ms. Hunter. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this matter? Seeing none, any further comments from board members?
Yeah, a question from Mr. Boyle.
Mr. Francis?
In retrospect, I'm listening to all the comments, and as you heard me say before, I really believe in home rule. So when a municipality comes before us, a duly elected
representatives who have the constituents to answer to. And they want to do the regional master plan, the planning preservation. I personally have a great deal of respect for that because they're putting it on the line. And if the constituents don't like it, they'll make that answer. So we can sit here and talk all we want back and forth, whether we like this area, this center, or that center. But at the end of the day, when the municipality says that they want to participate in our process of good planning, I think that's a positive. And so whether you agree with it or not, the responsibility goes to the elected officials of Randolph Township. And if they, in their judgment, they unanimously want an ordinance to do this, then I just simply have to support it.
Thank you, Ms. Francis.
Well, I just had a question. Mr. Ball, I think you indicated there was going to be an additional public hearing held at the local level on this.
No, we'll be doing a training for the MOU at this level here. Local personnel and local officials will be coming here to do a training on the MOU program.
Okay, I was
referring to... There'll be several meetings because of the number of municipalities.
I'm sorry, I was referring to this particular application. No. Has there been any local discussion, any hearings on these centers?
I don't think that's prerogative of this board. I mean...
I'm just wondering how far along...
I would say that these have been discussed by Randolph for a couple of years at this point, over several different councils, and they have come to the conclusion that they are going to make those applications.
They have public hearings. That's
well, they
have public hearings about coming here, but not subsequent to.
Well, you know, of course, in 2009, they had public hearings, and they discussed, you know, the petition for conformance at that time. And I just didn't know whether or not these centers had been discussed at the time, or if these had at all. I'm not absolutely sure this is coming from the municipality. I did hear the mayor's comments, and I appreciate that. But are these four centers something that has, you know, come up from the ground and been discussed from the very beginning in the public process related to their conformance, or is this something new?
I think you have to accept, one, Mr. Francis' comment, and two, that these plans are developed from the ground up from the municipality. We don't overlay anything on a municipality that they haven't asked us to consider and ask us to work with them to develop.
Okay, so the genesis of these four centers came from the municipality.
I have to assume that to be correct, and the mayor is here, and our staff indicates positively, and the manager.
That is indeed correct.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have a concern. I'm going to vote against this, and I just want to say that this is a water deficit area. This is not an artificial deficit. It's based on drought. And we see storms and droughts happening all the more today, perhaps related to climate change, but we're in the middle of it and we can't control that. So unfortunately, our job is to plan for the worst. And to plan for the worst means to plan when there's no water at all. And we know that we're in trouble in terms of water in Randolph, just like we are in all the water deficit areas that have been designated in the plan. So I really feel that we're being irresponsible moving ahead. I have not seen the results of the water management plans and water conservation plans that we've been requiring for the other areas that are in water deficit that this council, and I have voted against every one of them, has approved where there are water deficit areas. I think we need to have a report out that shows how many gallons of water have been produced, how the water deficits have been reduced by those plans before we continue down the path of approving further development, cutting down the trees as Wilma so well discussed, reduces the ability to replenish those resources. So if we're going to move down that path, I think we need to know what we're really doing. And to just have a few salvos in here about low-impact development without any specifics, to talk about, you know, water management and conservation plans without any specifics, and yet to have pages of specifics about how it's going to be developed into housing and commercial development, really is lopsided. We're here to protect resources for the public good, and we can't just have this tunnel vision about what might be good, at one
Thank you, Ms.
of area.
Anybody else? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tefank?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
No.
Councilmember Walton?
No.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Measure passes 9-3.
Chairman, we need a quick photo.
Just a quick photo.
Consideration of resolution, appointment of Highlands Development Credit Bank Chairperson. Can I get a motion for a nominee?
I'll move.
For?
Whatever you need.
We have a nomination for Rob Walton from Mr. Francis.
I will second that.
We have a second. Any discussion or further nominations? Seeing none, roll call please.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tefank? Councilmember Vizioli?
Definitely yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just a point of order.
Yes, sir.
There's no second necessary for when you say a name for a position. Is that true?
I think you'd be seconding the motion, seconding the moving resolution with that person's name.
Right. So in other words, if there's more than one name, you wouldn't need a second on this name.
Next item up is consideration of resolution appointment of geographic information system supervisor. Can we get a motion for this?
So moved.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any council comments? Can anybody in the public wish to be heard on this? It's only about, we won't get into the details of the individuals, but just about the position itself.
You're playing the position already.
No. This is an existing position. This is where somebody had retired and we're filling a position.
With whom?
There's a promotion from within of someone who had already been in a staff position who is now being promoted to a supervisor position. We are not backfilling at this point the vacancy.
This person has a name, I presume.
Yes.
And is that good?
It is Carl Figueredo, I mentioned earlier.
I didn't hear it.
Okay. Carl Figueredo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody wish to speak on the resolution itself? Seeing none, any further comments? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefen.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next item up is consideration of resolution, appointment of regional planning. Planner. Can I get a motion, please?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any board comments? Seeing none, would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Yes, sir.
I'd like to know the name.
Corey Piasecki. He is backfilling the position vacated by Chris Dance when she became Director of Planning and Science.
So it's another internal...
No, he's coming from the outside. There was a vacancy created by Dan Van Abb's retirement. When Dan retired, Chris stepped into his position, and that left a vacancy within the planning department.
Any other comments for the public? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes. Yeah.
Councilmember Holtzman.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefen.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Yes.
Are they here?
No, they're not.
Next item up is public comments. A reminder to please keep it within 3 minutes. Would anybody in the public wish to comment on any issues? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, good evening. Monique Purcell, New Jersey Department of Agriculture. Having listened to the Randolph discussion and the fact that I attend the majority of these meetings, and I hate to ask for the council staff to do more work, but I think it would be really helpful, and I look forward to the TDR discussion in February, but it would be really helpful if maybe at the March meeting there's an overview of the plan conformance process. I still think there's a lot of confusion about what the steps are, what happens next, what does plan conformance actually mean. Like Helen mentioned, it's the start of the planning process. These centers were identified as potential areas where Randolph may want to grow, how they want to change their patterns of development, but it's only the beginning. So if there can be an overview of exactly what the steps are, I think it would be helpful for everyone. I know that I'm concerned about the ag retention plans that are required, but when does that happen in the process? So if that could happen, I think that would help clarify.
The executive director is putting together some thought processes for meetings moving forward, and we can certainly add that to
That would be really helpful, because I think there's a lot of confusion over what plan conformance means and then what the next steps are and how it all falls out. Okay?
Honey, Margaret and I were talking just this morning about developing a briefing on plan conformance. Maybe we'll call it a plan conformance primer. That would go through the criteria and some of the things people need to know. One of the things we're finding out as we speak with even attorneys from various municipalities, that they are not 100% certain of the process,
right,
or are in some cases wrong. Mm-hmm. So that we think we really need to put something together. And I would say we can, TDR is first on our list, and we can probably work on something toward the March, April time frame.
That would be great.
Yeah,
thank you.
This in the works.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Yes, sir. Remarkably quiet.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you, too.
Okay. My name is Hank Klump, and I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. I understand that there's a billboard in Trenton near DEP's office that has been leased by the New Jersey Highlands Coalition and Pinelands Preservation Alliance for 12 months that was, according to Julia Summers, totally affordable. I don't know who put her in charge of what is affordable or whose money she is spending. Probably mine. haven't I paid enough for this water issue? Consider what was put into my land was put into the preservation area by politics, not scientific study. Featuring a picture of Eileen Swan is some kind of a joke. She is still crying the blues about that she was ousted because she was too good at her job. For those who were against the council mission to protect the Highlands from development, which couldn't be further from the truth, Swan says her friends want her autograph. If this council thinks this is appropriate, then shame on you all. Thanking Ellen Swan is unbelievable.
Mr. Klump, can I interrupt you one second, because I think there's a basic underlying confusion here. The council is this body that you see here, the 15 members appointed by the governor and the legislature. The coalition is our members like Dave Pfeiffer and Elliot Ruga, who you heard from. That is their money. We have certainly, I can assure you, not invested in that project or that
effort. No grant money.
No grant money. Not a nickel. I mean, not even a pass the hat.
Well, these are paid environmentalists.
I'm just saying there is a very firm line between the coalition and the council. All confused, but.
Okay.
So
we can only pay for a billboard with jeans.
Okay,
that's right. But not too soon, I hope.
Same on you, Cole. Thank you. Eileen Swan is unbelievable. If you can thank her, you won't. You haven't been robbed. She lied to my face, telling me she was working hard to help the people in the Highlands who had their property values stolen. But actually, she did absolutely nothing for me, and I have told her that face to face. And she could not even deny what I was saying to her. The Highlands Act was never to hurt anyone. Those words came out of Senator Bob Smith's mouth. Over 8 years ago, no money was ever put in place to try to compensate people who had their property values stolen before the act was passed. Now, Smith wants a bill calling for a water tax to fund the state open space acquisition program. Smith's bill would raise approximately $150 million each year for open space. The New Jersey Farm Bureau will testify that a water tax should be a dedicated funding source for a compensation program for the Highlands, which for over 8 years has been ignored. My property values are gone, and so is my equity. Members of this council have come and gone. And when they go, they don't look back. I've been standing here before you going on 9 years now, asking you for help, the landowners in the Highlands Preservation Area. Do I have to put my request for help and my picture on a billboard to get your attention?
You do.
All right, right next to you, Gene. All right, thank you very much. One question I have to you, and we had talked, and I haven't been here. I got a one-man farm job going now, and it's getting rougher and rougher, but due to the Highlands. But the thing is, the last time I was here, I know Rich Bowden, Judge Dressler over here, were, and I think Bob Walden was involved in it, in putting a thing together to find out for compensation has, what I'm getting at is, who's got my check?
Well, as somebody once said, this council doesn't have the ability to print money.
Okay.
So money has to be given to us to delegate out. What the staff has been working on very diligently for the last couple months is working on the TDR program, which is probably the only tool we currently have available to us short of funding to compensate landowners. The next meeting, Mr. Fah will be February's meeting.
Here.
Right here, regular meeting, 5 o'clock. We'll give an overview of that process. And
now, this is the same program that was supposed to be completed within 18 months after the act was passed. Am I correct?
I'm not going to sit here and get into the
whole okay. thing. Okay. I'm just listening. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Since it's been brought up, I was going to bring this up in a little while when the council has a chance to speak, but we've had a number of discussions about compensation, and I don't think there's a member here that doesn't want to make sure that these people are compensated. I'd like to try and take a first step with regard to that, and I'd ask the executive director to check to see if there's anybody on staff or if a request for proposal has to go out, to bring an expert on to find out exactly how much money we're talking about for compensation. I don't think anybody here has any idea in terms of today's dollars how much money we're talking about. I think that's the first step to make sure that these people are compensated. We have to find out exactly how much money and then look for funding sources from there, but I think we've got to take a first step in doing that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If you Google Highlands Act, Holzhauer and Hollenstein, they were hired by Warren County. The firm was hired, a licensed, respected appraisal firm, and they did an in-depth study of the values lost, and I guess it was done in 2005 in that time frame, a few years ago. So it could be reduced by percentage.
That's the problem, Rich. You know, in terms of today's dollars, we have no idea. You know, we've got something to go off, you know, from. But I think that in order to do this in an intelligent manner and come up with a funding source, we have to be able to go to people and say, this is the type of dollars we're talking about.
Well, you know, they're in their study, and they used the average price of a home in the Highlands region and extrapolated everything from that. I think if you plugged in the average value of a home in the Highlands region now, I think it could, all in figures would pop up. In 2013 values.
Certainly, I'll talk to the executive director about getting that type of information and the process of going about getting that.
We've got to take a first step. I think that's the way
we do. You may have missed it in the very beginning of the meeting. Gene spoke about the TDR program. We're going to have an extensive review at the next meeting. So that's going to be a big first step as well. Anybody else in public? We hope.
Helen Heinrich again. I'd like to ask all of the council to take a look at the definition of water deficit, which, as I remember, and I could be mistaken, was decided by a vote of the previous council. And basically, if you have a project and you can't get the water out of that sub-watershed that project is in, then you're in deficit. And if that's the case, it seems to me that everybody in Newark and all over the rest of the state that gets water from the Highlands is in deficit. Now, should we have different standards between the people, the landowners in the Highlands, the towns, especially in the Highlands, and everybody else that, by the same definition, is in deficit? So, Chairman, you have said a couple of times you're wondering for what things ought to be looked at for change, and I would say this is a very important definition to look at.
Anybody else in public?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave Pfeiffer from ANJAC. I'd like to just bring to your attention three things, 1 minute each.
We'll see about that.
This idea that the TDR program is the only thing we have to compensate landowners. I think it's important to realize we're at a crucial crossroad now in open space funding in New Jersey. We have a chance to do over Mr. Smith's promise in generating a reliable source of funding for open space and farmland preservation and historic preservation that would be useful in the Highlands. If you look at the open space report that was prepared by the staff here, you will see that by far and away, the 17% of the land area of the Highlands has gotten more than its share of open space funding from those programs in the previous years.
Prior to the Highlands?
During the term of that report, which ended in, I believe, 2010, were the last figures they used. I would call on the council to convey to the legislature and the governor's office what your financial needs are within the Highlands. Mr. Dressler's comment, I think, is well taken. We talk about this issue without any clear definition of what we're to compensate for and under what circumstances, yet the Act is fairly clear about what's to be compensated for, and the RMP is pretty clear as well. So you're not shooting in the dark. It would be possible to create a needs assessment for open space, farmland, and historic preservation funding for the Highlands. And I would urge you to do that officially as a body before things get cast into stone down there in Trenton. The Keep It Green Coalition is out there. You can find them online. They're looking for a dedicated source of revenue of $200 million a year. That would go a long way under the current rules and priorities of Green Acres and the Farmland Program to help landowners in the Highlands and to benefit the public, which is an equally important concept here. On the next matter, we've been working at ANJAC with Rutgers Cooperative Extension, Water Resources Division, on the idea of green infrastructure. This includes various design techniques that can be used to control and manage stormwater in a more effective way. And it's one of the key elements for dealing with things like water deficits. They have offered to come and present to the council or to staff and council their presentation on green infrastructure techniques that could be used. We have clear authorization in the RMP for them to be used, and I think the council would benefit from some education on that subject, and certainly municipalities could take advantage of that through your staff.
Mr. Piker, I'd like to say you lost your challenge. Well, you got them too.
Well, the last one is simple and quick. At ANJAC, we've recently prepared a white paper on sustainable development and solar siting, which you can access at ANJAC.org, and I can provide you with hard copy. This is a coming issue It'll be a considerable issue here in the near future, and particularly in the southwestern part of the Highlands. One of the things that we're concerned about is that it is land consumptive, particularly of high-grade farmland. And we believe that New Jersey's energy needs for renewable energy can be met by using rooftops, brownfields, areas of impervious surface.
You know, I let you go on any longer, I'm going to get beat up by everybody else.
All right, I'm sorry. But in any case, I think it's an issue. It's an issue that the council should be concerned with, and please avail yourselves of that report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Elliot Rugen, New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and if you get your clock going, Mr. Chairman, I have two issues, 90 seconds of these, please. In New Jersey, we have a very interesting situation. The cost of water is the fourth lowest in the nation, and that's improbable when you think we're also the most densely populated state in the nation. And that is possible because we can see the unfairness that the cost of that water is largely shouldered by landowners in the Highlands. And since 1990, according to Ralph Siegel, who manages the Green Acres program, 30% of the open space dollars that the state invests has gone into acquisition in the Highlands. So I think the state is putting the money to the right place. And if we are able to find an equitable balance so that people are paying for the cost of water in a more fair way, it's not a tax. It's really paying for what we're using. And I think that's the way we need to look at this. The Highlands Act does not promise compensation. It is the rightful exercise of police power of the state, which is constitutional. But there is a fairness question that has been a bone of contention since 2004. And we would like in the environmental community to see this be rectified as much as anyone else. And if we ever come to that, perhaps we can have Mr. Klum featured on our billboard in Trenton. Another issue.
It's much better.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
I have with me a copy of the 2009 comprehensive mitigation plan that Tennessee Gas Pipeline agreed to as a condition for their consistency determination to lay their 300-line natural gas pipeline through Vernon, West Milford Townships, and Ringwood. And a condition of that plan was that they would report to the Highlands Council beginning a year after their final construction the success of their restoration program. And I had a discussion with Margaret a few weeks ago, and I wanted to go on record that they have not yet reported back to us, as far as I know, and I don't know if there's been any further discussion.
We have a meeting tomorrow morning on that issue and others with Tennessee Gas.
That's great, because I think it's important that we follow tomorrow morning.
This is tomorrow afternoon. We've got a conference call at 2:30 with them, and that's one of the things on the agenda. And I have to thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Great, thank you. Because with the as we continue to exploit the Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania, the Highlands is going to continue to be the crossroads to transport that gas to the east.
Thank you, Mr. Rudd.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
is David Shope, and the New Jersey Water Supply Authority is undergoing its annual rate review right now. I've been beating the drum to have a source water protection fund increase for years now, and have not gotten any support from any of the environmental community or this council. So if you want to do it, now's the time. At an informal meeting, they suggested that they could be eliminating the program of having a source water component as part of the rate that has not changed for at least 5 years, of $231 a million gallons. That's what they sell water for. That's the state. It's a state agency. They sell water at cost. You had a TDR program for the town of Clinton years ago where you gave $26,000 for a boondoggle program to study TDRs within the town, and the conclusion came back that couldn't do it. 26 grand down the drain. Holzhauer and Holstein appraisal done in 2004 should be current because of the dual appraisal process, which fixes the appraisals at 2004 rates. So it should be good now.
Correct.
Beg your pardon?
You're right.
Yeah. So if you have trouble getting a copy of it, I'll be glad to give you one. Just as an aside, those people who voted with Senator Smith in both houses of the legislature for this act, at least eight of them now, can call themselves convicted felons. The water deficit is a fraud. You were instructed by the act to design for drought conditions. It's in the act. The Trella Douglas model, which says that nitrates are not diluted by their passage through the earth, is totally false. It's so false that it's not used anywhere else in the country. It's used only in New Jersey because we're just so special here. And this is being challenged still by the Farm Bureau lawsuit against DEP, which used it as a basis for the 88 and 25 acre zoning in the preservation area. I think I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on anything?
Jerry Kern, Clacon Township. Again, I'd like to thank the council for the dialogue on compensation. I hope I'm still not sitting here 8 years from now still talking about dialogue. Hopefully, this is probably the first time I actually feel like there's some real positive hope here. I hope the TDR program works. I don't feel that way, but I hope I'm proven wrong there. I would hope also that maybe a committee could be put together with some heads banging together for other thoughts of compensation. I would open it with extending the dual appraisal until every last Highlands property owner is compensated. We shouldn't keep extending it down the road, just extend it until everyone's paid. That would solve some problems. I don't believe a penny from the state for preservation should be spent on anything other than property owners that have been waiting for 9 years. That money should only go to them, no one else. Why are we preserving other places around when, I know why, we all know why, because we already preserved it. We've been waiting for it, and I don't believe any nickel from the state money should be going anywhere but compensating landowners. That would be another great start. Another opportunity may be some kind of property tax relief for these property owners. I'm sure there's many ideas that people can come up with here I'm sure most all the council's probably smarter than myself. And I would hope, with putting your heads together, you could come up with some fair compensation. There's many ideas, I'm sure, out there. And I would hope that this council forges hard to get us people that have been waiting and our lives have been turned upside down. It's nice to hear the environmental side. Yeah, they want to help, but where were they 8 years ago? Nice, after we waited all this time. Now they want to show like they have a little concern. Good try. I think it's up to this council to make that happen. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any matter? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. We have no executive session, so move to adjourn.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.